Hello, educators. Welcome to Leave It at the Door, the podcast that helps teachers like you set boundaries, find balance, and rediscover the joy in teaching. I'm Annie Middlemist.
And I'm Robin Elliott, and we have spent decades supporting teachers in and out of the classroom.
Most importantly, we've been in your shoes, and we understand the challenges that you face every day.
So, take a deep breath, shake off the stress of the day, and let's learn to leave it at the door.
Hey, good morning, Robin. How are you today?
Hey, Annie. I'm doing well, my friend. How are you? How are you feeling?
Good. It's so nice to see your face. We are again on opposite sides of the country. I am out west where it's another beautiful day. Tell me what's happening on the East Coast.
So it is beautiful. We finally have some spring weather. It's about 59 degrees in New York City. And it's one of the first days I don't have a big coat and wool hat and gloves. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think we're the same temperature in Phoenix and New York. So that's a very unique situation that we're in today.
Very unique.
You know, even just planning our calls together to record this podcast can sometimes be challenging for both of us because we have such busy schedules going on. And in this world of quick communication and demands on our time, time management always comes up, and it's something I personally struggle with, and I know our educators struggle with as well. So tell me, what is one habit, Robin, that helps you with time management?
That's a great question, because I know, like you mentioned, it is, there's so much on educators' plate. So I would say one thing, I have a timer for everything. I'm obsessed with a timer. So I time and calendar everything. So I time that if I'm going to have lunch, I'm going to have lunch, give myself at least 15 minutes to swallow the food. I'm going to give myself 20 minutes to do the paperwork. And if I have a Zoom call or I have a meeting with a parent, I'm going to give myself at least 10 minutes before to prep, to read the emails, to read the threads, to make sure that I am planned for the call. So I would say timers are my BFF.
That's awesome. I am a list maker. I love lists. I have them all over the house. Even just writing them down, if I don't follow them, I still make lists. I do a list every night so that I can sleep better. So I have a list. And then if I'm really busy, then I have times next to every task on the list. But it does help me sleep better at night instead of being in bed and saying, okay, what do I have to do tomorrow? I already know that I have to do it. So, you know, today to our listeners, I know this is a big challenge for, I think, everyone on the planet. But if you're a teacher who's struggling with your time management, trying to juggle lesson planning, grading, and trying to have a personal life, some time to yourself, some time to plug in your battery, don't worry. That's what this episode is about. We're going to talk about tips and tricks to help make time management better, to make your life feel a little more calm.
So we're going to be talking about some time management strategies, you know, for you teachers, whether you're drowning. I know this time of year can be very, very demanding. Lesson planning, annual reviews, grading papers until midnight or after midnight, and just trying to take a breath, catch a breath. We have some game-changing tips to help you.
Absolutely. Plus, we'll be sharing real-world teacher experiences and our top productivity hacks.
And let's be real. Teachers do so much more than just teach. So much more. So the job comes with an endless to-do list.
Exactly. As we've already mentioned a couple times, that lesson planning, grading, answering emails, going to those meetings, most of which could have been just in an email, prepping your materials so you're ready as soon as those kids come in. And then, of course, we have to manage student behavior and not really let it interrupt our lesson and what we're trying to do. And then what we were hired to do, which is teaching.
You're exactly right. And in fact, studies show that teachers work an average of 50 plus hours a week, and many even hit 60 hours. And I'm sure most of you listening on this podcast are in that 50 plus, more than 60 hours a week. And that's almost two jobs in one.
Exactly. And even in our teacher training, education, workshops, professional development, I feel like no one really teaches you how to manage your time effectively as a teacher.
I would agree. Exactly. So what are the biggest time drains for teachers?
Yeah, so based on feedback from teachers, research we have done, there's five big drains for the teachers. One is grading overload, that giant pile on your desk that you have to get through that you'll say you'll get to later. Too many meetings that could have been emails being pulled out to sit in on meetings. And even when I have IEP meetings, I have to have a sub during that time. So now I have to have my sub plans ready when I go into that. Lesson planning taking over, especially new teachers, really just not realizing that they're reinventing the wheel every day, that they don't know what resources they have. Those endless emails, you blink and you have 30 messages. And then, of course, lack of boundaries, which we talked about in episode one, taking that work home every night. So we'll talk about each one of those. Does that sound familiar to you, Robin?
It does sound very familiar, and I'm sure it sounds familiar to those listening on this podcast. And if you're nodding right now, just stick with us because we're about to tackle these challenges head on. Let's get ready. So let's break down five proven strategies that help teachers reclaim their time.
I love it. Let's start with this one, which I love, is batching tasks.
Instead of switching between tasks all day, you can try grouping similar tasks together, for example. So let's all those papers that Annie talked about that need to be graded, right? Let's set aside one block of time just for grading. So let's isolate that task. Let's batch that task. And then dedicate another block to your lesson planning. Compartmentalizing could be very helpful. And one thing, and I know this can be an area of focus for a lot of us, is those emails, right? Those notifications constantly ding, 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 ding. Is this a parent? Is this my boss? Is this so and so? Everything's so urgent. But setting a time that you answer those emails, setting a time a day instead of constantly checking them, that's such a time drainer. So whether it's at first thing in the morning when you get to your classroom, if it's lunchtime, if it's three times and then end of the day after your students leave, but setting those times a day.
Exactly. And your brain works more efficiently when you're focused on one type of task instead of changing gears all the time. You have a great method that you use, the Pomodoro method. Can you tell us more about that and how you use that yourself and with your students?
Absolutely. This works for me, and I hope it could work for those of you listening. It's called the Pomodoro method. Maybe you've heard of it. And like I say, it has worked for me. So I would encourage you, if you can try it, it would see if it works for you. But setting a timer, that old school timer that we have on the desk, but now we have it on your smart boards, on your laptop, on your phone. So set a timer. Let's say you have to do your IEP meetings for the annual review. So set a timer for 25 minutes and you work on that task that entire time. You don't check your phone, you don't check your email, you work and isolate. After you've batched that task, you work on that task for 25 minutes. Then when that timer goes off, you've got to stretch, move your body, refill your water, do a little bio break, and then go back to that. So then go back to that same task and repeat that 25-minute timer dedicated to that one task that you're doing. Then after three or four cycles, you can take a larger break, which may be 15 or 30 minutes, depending on your schedule, depending if you're working at home or if you're in your classroom, whatever this looks like for you. So working on task for chunks for 25 minutes or so, taking a small break, and then after three or four cycles, taking a large break. So that has really worked for me. It's called the Pomodoro method. So I teach this to high school and college students when I teach them time management and study skills. And I've had a lot of feedback saying, oh my goodness, this works. We just have so many things distracting us in this world. So I hope that could be very helpful for you. Pomodoro method.
Yeah,
Sound
that's
good?
wonderful. I think that's great, especially that dedicated time that we're not used to. Turn off your phone, set it in a different room. People can wait 25 minutes to get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
And then the next strategy that people say really helps them, and a lot of this may be generational, whether you're a young teacher, an older teacher, how you use your planners. But digital planners have really come a long way to be very user-friendly and using those tools. So you need to use a planner, but find a program that works for you. I personally like Google Calendar for my scheduling because I can connect to others, set reminders, and have it remind me of a meeting before the meeting's happening. That really helps me a lot, like you said, with your 10 minutes before the meeting, get ready for the meeting. Trello and Notion are great for lesson planning. And then using auto-grading tools like Google Forms for your quizzes. You don't have to grade all of those quizzes if you have the Google program at your school. And then I still really like, that paper to-do list. I love colorful post-its. I love the feeling of having a task on a post-it and then I crumple it up and throw it away when I finish it. It's very rewarding to me to get rid of that pile of post-its, but that might make someone crazy where they're saying, "Why aren't you just using your phone?" So find something that works for you and have a planner so that you can see what you have going on for the week and for the day and for the day ahead. And then let's move into that setting boundaries that we talked about, Robin. Talk a little bit more about that.
I love that. And mentioning the sticky notes, it's like I just got thinking about that. I can just see a whole bunch of colors on mine, so that might not work for me. For me, and I can tell you, with setting boundaries, this is huge, right? We talked about this in episode one. We feel pressure to say yes to everything, and it's okay to say no. And whatever your phrase is, whatever your tagline is, if it's "I'm not comfortable with that" or "I'm not available at that time," it's okay. And we talked about that in episode one. So setting boundaries, it's okay to say no.
Yes, as you said, no is a complete sentence.
Yep, no was a complete sentence.
Yeah. And asking yourself, does this align with my priorities or just politely decline? And then let's talk about strategy number five, our final strategy called the 2 minute rule. If a task takes less than 2 minutes, do it immediately instead of letting it pile up. For example, if it's an easy email, respond to it, get rid of it. Filing papers. If I teach a lesson and let's say three people were absent and I have three extra worksheets, I tend to set it on my desk and say I'm going to get back to it later. And yet I have a file cabinet 10 feet away. So throw it into the file cabinet where you are either going to give it to the child next, or if it was just a simple do now that you don't need to reuse, just put it in your do now file so that you have that in your rotation of do now activities, quick activities to keep the kids engaged. And then setting up those tomorrow's lesson materials that for my due now the night before, I make sure that's already on the board just in case I'm running late, just in case I'm out sick. Doing those little things ahead really helps me a lot. Do you have anything that you can think of that takes 2 minutes that you just have to force yourself to do?
I just was thinking about some emails that I could unpin and take it out of my email box that keeps building up. I have so many flags and so many things on that are pinned. So I could, if I set 10 minutes aside, I could probably get 6 emails out of my inbox and I would feel like I just gained 10 years of my life. So that's a good
Yeah,
point.
that
Woo!
inbox is that's gonna be a whole op episode itself, I think,
Oh,
is
that's a whole
managing our
season. That's a
inbox.
whole season. Get ready for the fall, people, the inbox.
Exactly. All right,
Ta-da-da.
so these are some great strategies, these top five strategies that we had of the 2 minute rule, setting boundaries, using digital planners and tools, the Pomodoro method that I'm really excited. I'm gonna use that actually today. And then batching our tasks. So, those are five great tips that we have to help everyone. And then let's go into just those classroom tips. So, now we're moving into the classroom. How can we help build those habits, those daily habits that can help us feel a little bit more efficient and in control? Let's talk about some classroom hacks that save time daily. And you have one that you do, Robin. Talk about that.
First up, what I use is I set up a do now, and I know some of us in different districts and different places call it different things. But we have a do now. So as soon as the class starts, they know when they come in here, there's a quick activity while you take attendance and get yourself set up for the day. It keeps the students engaged, gives you a moment to breathe, set your intentions for the day, and then when everyone can be on the same page. So it's nothing that's going to be a quiz grade, it's nothing that's going to be a huge assessment, but something that everyone can do. So those late bus students or the students that are dropped off later, if they only do it for a few minutes, it's okay. But then once that time is up, then the class starts. So it really just sets the day and sets the
Yeah,
tone.
that's a really good point with late students that when they're coming in tardy, they're interrupting class if you start right away. So giving that a few minutes, and it doesn't have to be something challenging. It's something to help the kids kind of relax. It's a reminder maybe of something you learned the day before, but it shouldn't be something that causes stress. It should just be relaxing, and they can do it together at their table, however you want to do that to keep those kids engaged. That's a great idea.
Thanks. Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah. And another thing I use with my kids, especially my middle and high school kids, is peer grading and self-checking, that you don't have to grade everything. Quizzes and tests, absolutely. I really think the teacher should see that because we want to see patterns, things that maybe they're missing. But quick little worksheets, reminders, vocabulary activities, they can peer check or self-check. So everyone has a red pen in their pencil bag. And then when we go over it, they can self-check, put the grade at the top. And just, I trust that you're going to do this honestly and move forward with that. And then you can obviously save a ton of time if you have the kids peer grade or self-checking and really supporting one another.
I love that. That is a great point. I'm going to remember that when I'm teaching. And as far as lesson planning, you mentioned it too. Not everything has to be graded. So reuse, repurpose. No need to create new lessons from scratch every single time. We always say the phrase "work smarter, not harder." So looking at your assessments, looking at your activities, modify what already works.
And in the spring,
Okay.
like with English language arts, getting ready for state testing, go back to those vocabulary lessons that you taught in September and October. They probably don't remember. So go ahead and reteach those vocabulary lists, spelling lists, those kind of things that you know they're going to be assessed on anyway. And go ahead and reuse that lesson plan from the fall. There's no problem with that. You're still getting that information to them that they need.
Absolutely. And writing, journal writing, prompting. I mean, that's a skill you can use every grade level, every developmental level, every subject level. That's a great point.
So don't try to reinvent everything every day. You don't have to have 150 lesson plans. A lot of those can be recycled. And then going into just some do's and don'ts quickly that we've talked about in all of our podcasts, but just some quick do's and don'ts that help us manage that time. And so we're going to do a little game called Do It or Drop It. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Checking emails consistently. Should we do it or drop it?
Drop it.
Absolutely. Drop it. Just because your phone dinged that someone sent you an email, it could be a sales email, it could be a coupon. Don't check until you actually have time to read it. How about using templates for lesson plans, Robin?
And I hope those that are listening to this podcast are thinking about, do I do it or drop it? So, using templates for lesson plans, do it.
Yes, I just make a copy. All my lesson plans are on Google Docs. And so I just make a copy, change the date, change the things I need to change, and we move right on. That really saves a lot of time. All right, you go next, Robin.
Right, your turn. You ready, Annie? All right. Do it or drop it. Taking work home every night. What do you say?
1,000% drop it. Every time you take work home, you are taking time away from the people you love who live in your home. Number one, whether it is your dog, your spouse, or even just yourself and spending some time with yourself. So set at least 2 nights a week where the work stays at work. You are not allowed to carry anything home except your laptop. And even that should stay closed unless you're doing something fun on it. And just preserve that time for yourself, setting those boundaries.
Awesome. Love it. Your turn.
All right, delegating classroom tasks to students. Should you do it or should you drop it?
Do it. Do it. And I say that because it takes a lot of task off of your plate and it builds community, it teaches responsibility. Yes, so do it. Do you agree with that, Annie?
Absolutely. In my teaching, it was always about building community. Everyone had a certain task. And when you're responsible for something, you care for it better. And I even had a job to make sure all the markers were snapped on all the way, the Expo markers and the coloring markers. That was a job to make sure they all clicked shut. Just simple things that just say, you're a part of this community. I'm not in charge of this classroom. We are in charge of this classroom. And then at the end of the day, when you've restored the environment, you can leave. You're done. You don't have to clean everything up because the kids helped you do it. So really, this is an essential, I believe, teacher task to have, a habit you should have.
That's awesome. All right, you ready? Last one, do it or drop it. Saying yes to every task, Annie, what do you say?
Gosh, you know what? I say do it way too often. It needs to be drop it. that you can still be really helpful. You can still be a good friend and a good coworker. When you have a minute, stop in and say, "Can I help you with that? Can I carry that? Can I help you put that away?" But you can't let it compromise your own responsibilities. So when someone asks for help, you really have to think, my prep hour ends in 7 minutes. Do I have time to do this? Or do I have something else I need to get done? Because that prep hour is golden time that really needs to be respected.
That is so true. And taking care of yourself, right? That self-compassion before everything else, preserving your own precious time.
For me, it's even something as simple as making sure my water bottle is full for my next classes so I don't have to try to get someone to watch my class so I can get some water.
Absolutely. Making sure you use the restroom before you pick the kids up from PE, right? Little things. Yeah, we have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, and put that in your list, right? 5 minutes before, run to the bathroom, fill your water bottle, the
I
two things we
agree. Get
always
your
forget
water,
about.
get your snack, get whatever you need. Yeah, anticipating. Oh, we got a long faculty meetings after this today. When I take the kids to the bus stop, then we have faculty meetings. It's going to be a long time. Do I have a granola bar? Yep.
Yep, all those things.
Refuel.
Yes. So don't say yes to every task if it is going to compromise the things you actually need to get done.
Love it.
So that was a lot, Robin. We covered a lot of ground in kind of a short time. And so, teachers out there, first of all, we just want to say thank you for all that you do. We know how hard the work is. Respect yourself, take time for yourself. You are not the only person in charge of making sure these kids learn and making sure things go smoothly. So count on your team, respect your time. It's not about doing more, it's about doing what matters.
Awesome. I love that, Annie. I love that. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this. And you wonderful educators out there, if you found these tips helpful, I'm so glad. We're so glad. Please subscribe and share this episode with a fellow teacher. We really appreciate you. And like Annie said, everything that you do, you have so many jobs and keep up the amazing work.
All right, have a great week.
Have a great week, everyone.